Welcome to the Church at Whistling Pines. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here, the lead team pastor. So good to see you. It's different to do it. Thank you. It's different to do it after offering. So want to do a top 10 list for you this morning. You ready for that? Yeah? Okay. So it's the top 10 things you shouldn't say without thinking. Okay? So in other words, you should think twice before you say these things once. You ready? Number 10, of course, bring the kids. Number 9, call me anytime at all. I've actually said that before and learned to regret it. But please do, seriously, if you feel like you need to call. Number 8, I will blow up this plane if I don't get bumped to first class. Probably not a good thing to say. Number 7, things you shouldn't say without thinking. Aw, look at the cute kitten. Because then you get that cute kitten, and then that cute kitten turns into a cat. True story. 6, we have plenty of room. 5, does this dress make me look fat? You may not want the answer. Especially if your husband answers, it's not the dress that makes you look fat. Did I go too far with that one? Sorry, I'm sorry. Back up. Thank you. Things you shouldn't say without thinking. Number 4, do you need help with anything? That's kind of my patented move, and then sometimes people say, yeah, could you do this? Okay, all right, I can do that. Number 3, a preacher saying, in closing, should really think. Exactly. You should really think if you're really closing. Top 10 things you shouldn't say without thinking. Number 2, does this rag smell like chloroform to you? That's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny. You get it? And number 1, the number 1 thing you shouldn't say without thinking. Over my dead body, you will. All right. We're starting a new series this week called Proverbs Wisdom. It's going to be a 9-week series. Really excited about it. Generally, what we do is we go through books of the Bible in an expository teaching way, meaning we go verse by verse. Proverbs, as you know, is a collection of wisdom, collection of sayings. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. The first 29 were penned by King Solomon. 30 was penned by Agur, and then 31 was penned by King Lemuel. So most of them, though, are by Solomon, and because they're a collection of sayings, we're not going to be going verse by verse, but instead we're going to be breaking it up into topics, and it's going to be kind of a survey of the book of Proverbs, and I believe we'll really be blessed for it. Proverbs is just as much for us today as it was for when it was penned for the original audience. And this week, we're talking about our tongue, the things that we do with our tongue, in other words, our words. What do we say? What do we do with the words that come out of our mouth? It's very important for us to realize and understand that. Let me just let you know this in case you weren't aware of it. This hits home with all of us. All of us have said things we shouldn't have. All of us have not said things we should have. And so we're all guilty of this. And I believe we can all grow. And the book of Proverbs can help us with that. So because of that, we're going to be going into a lot of scripture. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. And if you're one of those people that likes to write in your scripture, I would recommend that maybe you make a little jot next to each scripture. They will be on screen because I'll be going through them fast. You may not have time to turn to them fast enough, but maybe make a little jot by a scripture, put a T for tongue or something like that if you'd like to. Words get us into trouble. Do you agree with that? It's been said that I never have to regret things that I don't say. And it's true. If I didn't say it, then I don't have to regret it later. Words get us into trouble. Here's some of the scriptures in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Do you know people like that? Careful, don't point the finger. There's 3 more pointing back at you. We all like to share our own opinion. What do they say? Everyone has an opinion, and it's like elbows. There you go. Everybody has an opinion, and we all want to share our opinion. However, if we're just sharing our opinion and not gaining understanding from somebody else, then Scripture calls us a fool. I'm not calling us a fool. King Solomon, powered by the Holy Spirit, is calling us a fool. So we have to understand where the other person is coming from. It's not so important that they understand our opinion as we understand where they're coming from. We have to have understanding before we air our opinions. It's a tough one. Proverbs 20:25 says, "Don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and only later counting the cost." Have we done that before? We made a promise to God. Why do we make promises to God? Usually, we're in a bartering situation. God, if you could just get me out of this situation. I realize I was a fool. I either opened my mouth, I did something I shouldn't have done. If you can just rescue me, then I will do this. I will serve you the rest of my life. I will go to church every Sunday. I will start tithing. I will help the little old lady across the street. Whatever it might be, we barter with God and we make these rash promises. In the book of Ecclesiastes, another book penned by Solomon, he says this in Ecclesiastes 5, beginning with verse 4. "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it." If you remember our kid master, Corinne, one of the things that she said was that we all have a calling by God and he tells us to do things. And then remember what the second thing was. He expects an immediate response. "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it." It might be empty words to you, but they are not empty words to God. "Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, 'My vow was a mistake.' Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God." With all of our vows, especially to God, but even to one another, words are meaningless. We need to stand in awe of God. We need to realize just how important the words are that come out of our mouth, particularly when we're making a vow. When you promise to do something, you need to do it. Even if later on you decide, ooh, I'm not as enthusiastic about doing that as I once said I was. I think we've all been there, right? Words get us into trouble. Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." We're kind of going backwards for a reason. We're starting with behavior, and the behavior is the words that we speak. And we're going to get to the heart, because ultimately the heart needs to change in man so that our words change. But as far as the behavior, we need to weigh our answers. If somebody says something to us, kind or mean or somewhere in between, we need to weigh our answers. We need to be calculated with the things that we say, good and bad. Sometimes we can just be so overly praising somebody that doesn't do any good either. They get a big head and they don't realize they have area for growth. So it's both positive and negative words. We need to weigh what we say. But the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. There's a floodgate. There's no guidance. There's no restrictor plate, if you will. If you're talking about a car, there's no restrictor plate for the words that come out of a fool's mouth. Just gushes. Anything that comes from the mind goes straight through the mouth. God tells us to calculate. Tells us not only to count the cost in serving him, but also to weigh our answers. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Here again, something we're all guilty of. I'm convinced every one of us is guilty of this. I know I am at times. I'm talking to somebody, particularly if it's a debate. It's an argument of sorts. I'm already thinking how I'm going to have my rebuttal or what I'm going to say, or if they're asking me a question, I'm already thinking of how I'm going to answer them when really I've already shut off listening to them. Can I tell you, it's dangerous if you do that with your wife, right? We need to hear one another. We need to listen exactly, not just what they're saying with their words, but the meaning behind it. And we have to be skilled in that, and we cannot become skilled unless we listen. We open our ears much more than we open our mouths. There's power in the tongue, Scripture tells us, particularly in the book of Proverbs. You wouldn't think that this little thing in our mouth has such power. It's the greatest weapon on the face of the earth. It can do more damage and it can do more good than anything else. It can speak life and it can speak death into situations. The tongue has started more wars and more arguments and more battles than even money. Something so small, so insignificant when you think of the human body is so powerful. You hear the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They do hurt. They do damage. So there's power in the tongue. Proverbs 15 verses 1 through 4 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many people watch ESPN? Okay, three of you maybe saw this. Four of you, maybe you saw this. Over the weekend, there was a college basketball game between Vanderbilt and Tennessee, and they're in-state rivals, and they hate each other the same way the Florida Gators and the Seminoles hate each other for Tennessee. And Vanderbilt kind of beat Goliath, if you will. They came up and beat Tennessee in their own gym, and one of the players kind of got full of himself and at the end was clapping in the other guy's face. Then they get into the line to shake hands, and he does the same thing. He claps in his face. The Tennessee coach came and told the Vanderbilt coach what had happened, and the Vanderbilt coach lost his mind, absolutely lost his mind. He said, you're going to go and apologize to him. Which one was it? Which one was it? All that stuff was good. He was talking about sportsmanship. But then he absolutely went ballistic, said he was going to blank and kill him, and all this stuff was on the microphone. So they were talking to Herm Edwards, which is a retired NFL coach on ESPN, and we're kind of asking his opinion about the matter and what he would do differently if he was coaching that team. And what he said mirrors this scripture. Herm Edwards says, in a situation like that, I would have taken my young player to the side, put my arm around him, and softly said, we don't do that here at this program. That's not a reflection of our university or a reflection of our team. I want you to go over and apologize to the player and then apologize to the head coach. And then the person interviewing him said, and then what would you do when you went into the locker room? Would you yell at him there? And he said, no, I'm done. I don't have to say anything. He went on to say that in all of his years of coaching, the most volatile the situation, the times when emotions were the highest and people are screaming, and that's what happens in games, win, lose, or draw in a basketball game or a football game or whatever sport, emotions are high. In our homes, when we're getting in arguments with our kids and with our spouses, emotions are high. Herm said, when the emotions are the highest, that's when you speak the softest. And he said in his experience that players listen to that far greater than they listen to a coach screaming at them, trying to be heard over their screaming. King Solomon, years before Herm Edwards, said the same thing. A gentle answer turns away wrath. May I say this? Every single one of our homes has conflict. How do I know that? Because you're wearing human skin. We all have conflict, and when that rises in your home, you be the one to lower your tone. You be the one to get your point across, but wait until the emotions die down. It says that will turn away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you yell right back, trust me, the anger level is getting higher. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. There's that word gushes again. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing. Did you realize that our tongue can bring healing? There's people that are battered and bruised emotionally all around us, in our homes, in our workplace, in our church, and just words of affirmation can heal wounds. Just as, let me keep reading, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The same way a tongue can heal, the tongue can also crush someone's spirit. Somebody that has wounds, you can throw salt in those wounds with the words that you speak. And you might think, well, they're just sensitive. They need to get over it. This is just who I am. I personally believe that's bogus. You need to improve. Maybe they're too sensitive, but you're not sensitive to them. So we have to understand that the tongue can bring healing and it can also crush the spirit. Are you with me? Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. Think of a sword. A sword is so sharp and long and forceful that it can pierce human skin. And Solomon is saying that's exactly what words can do. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 18:6-7. A fool's lips bring him strife. Do you want to know why there's so much strife in your life? Maybe you talk too much. Maybe I talk too much. Or at inopportune times, it invites strife. I love this. And his mouth invites a beating. Isn't that great? There's some scriptures that just make you smile every time you read them. This is one of them for me. And his mouth invites a beating. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his very soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. You could interpret it, it could be translated as heart. The heart of man, the heart of woman, our lips, the words that we say, when we say them, can snare our heart, can snare our soul. It's serious. It's not just words. Proverbs 18:20-21. Again, we're doing a survey of the book of Proverbs. There's going to be lots of scriptures in this series. Verse 20, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's other scriptures that say, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. So if we sow unkind words, we're going to reap the benefit or the disaster of that. If we sow kind words, if we sow affirming words, then we're going to reap that benefit. We will eat our words. We will eat our words. Scripture tells us to control our tongue. It's bogus to say that's just me. I'm just outspoken. I'm just a sarcastic guy by nature. All that stuff is well and good, and maybe you're a little more prone to that than the next fella, but we need to control it. We need to control it. We need to bridle our tongue. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. Isn't that great? When you're talking a lot, there's sin possibly at the door. It may be you're saying great things, but maybe you're being prideful. Maybe you're boasting. Because you're talking a lot about yourself. Maybe you're talking so much and the other person doesn't get to be heard. Sin is there. It's not just when you cuss somebody out. We have to understand that. That our mouth can get us in trouble in more ways than just the obvious. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. You cannot control the person next to you, but you can control your own response. if they say something hateful or mean or discourteous to you, you can't control that. You can only control your own mouth. Proverbs 17, verses 27 through 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. We have to understand that our words, our speech, is a gift from God. I think because we're able to speak, we take it for granted. But the very words, the very thoughts that turn themselves into words is a gift from God. It's by His grace and His grace alone. And because of that, we have to realize we have a responsibility with the things that come out of our mouth. And we must speak. We must use words with restraint. That doesn't mean stop speaking, although in some situations it may. It means when you do speak, use restraint. And a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Think about that for a minute. An uneducated man, somebody that does not even understand what the other people are talking about, he might be viewed as wise if he's just silent. But if he wants to get in so bad his opinion, he's going to look like a fool because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And sometimes we're that fool that doesn't know what we're talking about. But we're so desperate to hear our own voices. And I throw myself in that too. It's not right now. This is good stuff. And discerning if he holds his tongue. So we're supposed to control our tongue. We also need to loosen our tongue. That our mouth is not only a weapon, but it also brings healing. It brings comfort. It brings exhortation. It brings encouragement. That we must loosen our tongue. We must realize that our tongue is a benefit to others as well. There's scriptures in Proverbs about that. Proverbs 12, 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. There's nothing more I love than to go into 7-Eleven or Publix or wherever it is, and you just see when somebody's countenance is down, and you just say something. I like your hairstyle. You're doing a good job. Whatever the case may be, I'm not saying lie, but do something to lift them up. It does a difference for them, but you'll notice it does something for you as well. Some people, I don't know how many of you know of the five love languages. Some people, such as myself, my love language is words of affirmation. So if you give me a word of affirmation, please, I know it sounds like I'm begging for it. I'm not. I'm just saying it speaks love to me. And it speaks love to other people as well, if you affirm them. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. This has to do with not just what we speak, but when we say it. Sometimes the things that we get in trouble for isn't necessarily what we said, but either how we said it or when we said it. Oh, is that too soon? That's kind of the joke, right? Going back to sports, if somebody loses and you make a joke, the joke within the joke is, oh, is that too soon? But sometimes it is too soon to say something. If your wife goofs up something, not that my wife has ever goofed anything up, it might be too soon to correct her right away. There's timing in a word. Proverbs 27:5 says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. We have a tendency to look at rebuke as bad. Affirmation, good. Rebuke, bad. No, rebuke is good. Jesus rebuked his disciples constantly. Did Jesus ever do anything wrong? No, he never sinned. So rebuke is not a sin. In fact, I could say, if you have love for your brother, love for your coworker, love for your family member, and you do not rebuke something that is rebuke worthy, then you're sinning. See, we have to be able to be uncomfortable with one another. If something that our brother or our sister is doing that is bothering us or that we clearly feel like is wrong or hurt someone else's feelings, you fill in the blank. We have to be uncomfortable enough because of our great love for them to go up to them and say, listen, you handled this the wrong way. In 1 John chapter 4, John said that perfect love casts out fear. And so if we're just saying, well, I love him too much to go up to him and say that, it would just crush him. He wouldn't completely understand it. I would say your love is imperfect, or in other words, it is not matured. Your love for that individual has not matured enough for you to go up to them, feel uncomfortable, to rebuke them. I've been rebuked before by you guys. I've been rebuked before. You guys have been rebuked before, right? Have you benefited from it? Yeah. And there's right ways and wrong ways to do it. I've been rebuked before completely publicly that didn't need to be, and it hurt. I feel like I could have done a better job. Nothing was wrong with what they said, but I felt like the timing and the place was wrong. That happens. We have to be watchful of that, but we do need to rebuke when we need to. Proverbs 20:15, gold there is and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. If you have knowledge in a situation, and can I tell you, every single person under the sound of my voice, to the best of my knowledge anyway, has knowledge about God, right? We all have imperfect knowledge about God because none of us completely understand God. But we have knowledge about God. We must speak it out. We must loosen our tongue to speak out the knowledge that we possess. Words start in the heart. We've been talking about the actual words and using our tongue, the behavior. But it begins in the heart. Matthew, the only scripture I'm going to use outside of Proverbs, Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in other words, whatever is in our soul, our heart, will come bubbling up. It will. That's why sometimes when cursing and things like that, where did it come from? It came from your heart. We've all been around people that are just so encouraging and have such an amazing walk with the Lord, and we just benefit by being around them because of the words that they say, even when they're not directed towards us. It's because of out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth professes. It just comes bubbling up. Proverbs 16:1. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. This is the good news. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus converts our heart. He redeems us. He buys us back. He takes away the garbage. He takes away the junk. He purges us to where our heart is pure. Our heart is filled with him as long as we're allowing him to fill us, to where our words then are a reflection of God. Have you been around people before that use the term God said too much? You might say, whoa, you can never say that too much. I beg to differ. It should be everything that we say comes from God. Now, I'm not saying authoritative in a prophetic sort of way, but our yes should be yes, our no should be no. The things that we say should be a reflection of our heart. Therefore, if we spend more time in our private place, in our prayer closet, in study of the Word, spending time with the Lord in worship, all those kind of things, he's doing something to our heart. And then the words that we say will be a reflection of his will be a reflection of his heart, will be a reflection of his opinion versus my opinion. And so from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. If we allow him to redeem this beast in our mouth, then he controls it the same way he controls our heart. Will you stand with me? Could I have the worship team come forward? I want to do something a little unusual this morning. Besides finish on time. Thank you for that. In closing, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning and with me because I'm looking at you. I want you to raise your hand if even just one of these scriptures resonated with you. Awesome. I see that hand. Now what I want everyone to do is to come forward. Step out of your seat. Come forward. What I want us to do, I'm going to lead us into a guided prayer. You're not going to be repeating after me. There's just going to be things on the screen that I want to pray over our tongue about. Okay? Will you agree to agree with this prayer? Yeah? Okay, cool. And by the way, when we close our eyes, when we pray, it's mainly so that distractions are out. But if somebody opens their eyes while they're praying, it's okay. It's not like less godly or anything like that, in case you didn't know that. So if you want to look at the screen and look at the points as you're praying, that's cool. God's good with that. He's not going to say, whoa, I'm not listening to her. She's got her eyes open. God's not like that, okay? Let's pray. I first want to pray for forgiveness. Father God, I just ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for the times we've used our tongue as a weapon. God, the times that we have inflicted pain on others. Lord, for times that we've just so desperately wanted to share our opinion and we didn't care what anybody else said. We were right and we wanted to be heard. God, forgive us that, Lord. Ultimately, change our hearts. Take the pride that is within us out. Lord, this unruly tongue that is in our body, Lord, it can be controlled by you and also by us. Lord, in Galatians chapter 5, you tell us that we have fruits of your spirit and one of them is self-control. Lord, we can have control over our own tongue, the words that we speak. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I also ask that you would forgive us for times that we don't share the faith and the hope that is within us. Lord, the times that we don't lift somebody up just because it would take more time or maybe they would think they're better than us or whatever the reasoning that you have impressed upon our heart to share something with someone else and we haven't. Lord, forgive us for that too. Lord, I pray for deliverance. Lord, you would deliver us from anything that is holding us back, anything, Lord, that is causing the overflow of our heart when it comes out in our mouth to be cursing, to be hateful, to be spiteful. God, whatever it is, Lord, that is within us, whatever door we've opened up to the enemy, Lord, that you would deliver us in the name of Jesus. Take that away. Lord, we no longer want that behavior, but Lord, we no longer want it to start in our heart. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for restoration. Lord, we get it. We own up to it. We've already asked for forgiveness and deliverance, Lord. We own up to the words that came out of our mouth, Lord. The things we shouldn't have said, the things that we should have said. Lord, we own that. That's us. But Lord, now we just ask for restoration. Lord, what the enemy meant for harm, God, we ask that you would turn around and mean it for the good. Lord, that you would restore relationships, Lord. In the workplace, Lord, in the home, with our kids, with parents, with our spouse, Lord, with friends, with neighbors, Lord, anybody that we come in contact with, Lord, that we've done damage one way or the other with our tongue, Lord, we ask that you would restore these relationships. God, we pray, we ask for redemption. Lord, buy our tongue back from the enemy. Lord, use our tongue for your good. Lord, you would redeem the time. For the time is evil, Lord. Help us not to be evil. Help our words not to be evil. Lord, that you would buy it back. Redeem us, Father. Lord, we pray for freedom. God, freedom that we could loosen our tongue. Lord, we could say the things that bring life, the things that bring joy, the things that bring encouragement to one another, Lord. Lord, that you would give us that freedom. Lord, with that freedom, I pray for opportunity. God, you'd give us opportunity to use our good words, Lord. Lord, that there would be timely words, Lord, as Proverbs says. God, with this freedom, with this opportunity, Lord, not only show us when we have opportunity in front of us, but give us the right time, Lord. Kind of just say to us, now, Lord, and help us to be obedient with that. God, give us opportunities in our everyday life, Lord, that we wouldn't have to set a time 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, let's all meet at the church and go do something. Lord, that you would use our everyday life, Lord, as we're coming and going to have an opportunity to share the knowledge of you with others. That we'd have the opportunity to uplift other people, Lord, that are down in the dumps. Lord, that we would be able to be appreciative and thankful to the people around us, Lord, even if they're not in the dumps, and would be able to tell them so. And finally, Lord, we ask for fruit. God, we ask for good fruit. Lord, the things that we say, Lord, the things that we share with others, Lord, we would see a change in ourselves, but in also other people, Lord. Lord, that the things that we share because of the freedom and opportunity that you're going to afford us with our redeemed tongue, Lord, that we would have fruit because of it, Lord, that we would raise up mighty warriors for you, that we would raise up disciples that are following you and are wanting to multiply for others to follow you too. Lord, take our tongue, take our mouth, take our minds, take our heart and our soul, Lord. They're yours. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to completely give all. Lord, give us a clean heart. In Jesus' name.